Welcome to the show. It's Real Talk with the Sixth Man. I'm your host, the Sixth Man. This podcast is uncut, unscripted, and we talk about a wide range of topics. Black entrepreneurship, social injustice, education, finances, the family dynamic, Me Too movement, Black Lives Matter, and mental health, along with many more. It's a Real Talk podcast to empower, educate, encourage, uplift, and inspire, and to allow others to be better than they were yesterday.
Shelby says Friday Junior. Let's go, Shelby. Let's go. Let's break it down.
All right, so we're talking about this young man who's he went viral because he was actually discussing the struggles that he's had with his daughter when it comes to taking her to the restroom.
So he's like, hey, listen, should I take my daughter to the male restroom, but I don't want her to see, you know,
he said penile.
You know what I'm saying? Do I take her to the, he said, but he doesn't really want to go to the female restroom either. So, like, if you're a girl dad, what do you do? I don't have a daughter. But right. I would definitely go to the female restroom. I wouldn't even think twice.
Hey, I'd
take her right in there.
But I think women would be accepting of that. We will accept that. If you came in with your daughter, we definitely understand you want to take her in the men's room. So, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Well, you know, we're going to help these girl dads out today. What's up?
I want to help my man. No, I'm a girl dad, and I've taken my daughter to the men's bathroom, but I covered her face. Her in the stall. Then we had to do come out, cover her face, make sure she don't see nothing, wash her hands, cover her face walking out. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
You know what? That ain't a bad idea. Okay.
No, I mean, I just wanted to help the young brother out, because sometimes as a dad, you get into the situation.
Right.
You got to do what you got to do. Now, I have been in the women's bathroom, but I did walk in kind of yelling, hey, girl dad coming in with his daughter.
Good job. All right, bro. Thank you, man.
For sure.
All right.
You're listening to My Daddy, the Sixth Man.
What's going on, y'all? What's going on? Real Talk with the Sixth Man. I'm your host, the Sixth Man. It's been a long time, man, since I did this. And, you know, most of the time when I want to get, you know, things off my chest, it comes by way of just having a thought, and then having, you know, just things going through my head that I just feel like at times I just need to get out. And I think that, you know, first and foremost, before I start, you know, nobody has added to my opinion, all of the opinions on this show, this platform since 2018 has been the opinions of mine. Nobody has, you know, coerce me to say or do anything. I do not and have never done this type of thing to receive any type of financial gains, likes, recognition, anything. I started this platform based off a young lady who was killed in the Lincoln Heights area of D.C. Her name was Makaya Wilson. That was the motivation behind me feeling like I needed to be a part of the media experience in terms of being one of the people who, you know, speak to the people. I just got recently finished watching Petey Green, hell of a movie. And I had someone years ago tell me that, you know, just my position reminded me of Petey Green. And when I sat and thought about it one night, I was like, wow, I mean, Slim, he, you know, he got some shit with him, you know, but at the end of the day, he still try to, you know, keep it 100 with his people. And, you know, everybody not going to always be, you know, in your corner, or not always not going to hear what you're saying or understand what you're saying, agree with what you're saying. But fuck it. It is what it is. I mean, if we all walk around here like zombies and agree with everybody, then we would never be able to see or hear a different perspective from somebody else. And with that being said, I also got finished watching not too long ago this Shirley Chisholm documentary on Netflix. And this conversation is not going to be long. There's no guests. It's just me. And like I said before, I'm going to say some shit. And I'm not sure if it's going to get blocked. I'm not sure if it's going to... I don't know. I'm not sure if this is going to reach the masses, reach a lot of the followers who's been following me. And again, I appreciate all of the support, all of the encouragement over the years. I mean, I want to say a year and a half ago, 2 years, I thought about just not doing podcasting at all. And then a friend of mine, Amechi, was like, no, I would love to be a guest host on your show, you know what I'm saying, to help you, you know, have a different perspective. And I was like, nah, fuck that. You're going to be a permanent fixture. You're going to be the co-host. And we ran with it. I went back maybe like a month and a half ago and watched every show with me and Amechi. And Amechi is a bright, wonderful, smart, very real down-to-earth person, and she made no other better choice. I mean, it was no other better choice for me to have her as a co-host. And unfortunately, life sends us, you know, signals and things happen, and you have to go with what makes sense for you. And her schedule, far as work, you know, led her to call me respectfully and say, look, Kevin, I want to do this, but I got this new position and I want to focus on it, and I'm not going to be able to host the show with you no more. I was like, it's all good. Look, Amechi has always been 100 with me, and I've learned things, you know, just talking to her relative to my past that I didn't know firsthand. And just in conversations with her, it just, again, was just confirmation on certain decisions that I made in my life in terms of people that I've decided that I didn't want to have access, allow them access to my life anymore. And so she confirmed a lot of shit for me that I already knew, but her having these conversations with me that I didn't know and like revealing certain information, it was just confirmation. And I appreciate her for that. I always fucked with Amechi, but I appreciate her even more and the value that she gave to the show with just, you know, some of those off the air conversations. But I just finished watching this Shirley Chisholm Netflix movie, documentary, special, whatever they want to call it. And let me say first and foremost, man, Regina King is a bad motherfucker. I mean, I know actors, you know, go to school and train and, but Regina King is one of those actresses that needs recognition. And there's a lot of them out there. I don't want to leave any out, you know. But just watching this movie, and just looking at the height of where this country is and this world overall, you know, with, you know, ever since Obama left office, to me, it seems like the United States of America has just gone fucking haywire. And I'm not saying that Obama was going to be the fucking messiah. I'm not going to say he was going to be the, you know, end all be all. But he gave people hope. And when I say people, he gave black people hope. He also gave all the other people that weren't black, that weren't against black people, hope that things could be different. And as you see, it was no difference. And some would even say that Obama didn't help black people at all when he was the president. And I'm not here to dispel that, you know, either way. I mean, you do your own research, you look up your own policies, you figure out what the fuck one candidate did versus what another candidate didn't do, and you come to your conclusion, and it is what it is. But I can tell you that Obama becoming the president was history for not just America, but in general for black people to look at themselves, especially these kids, and can see somebody on TV in the most powerful office in the world to say, damn, I can be, and then be whatever the fuck they want to be. And honestly, Obama did that. When the night that he was fucking elected, I was doing a private show doing security at the Warner Theater, and it was Usher. I never forget this shit. Warner Theater, Usher. My ex-wife is texting me, he won. I was like, what? I go outside, show is over, we clear the theater, I'm on my way home, and I'm downtown. And if you know, you know. You know where the Warner Theater is. And I'm downtown, and all I hear is Jeezy song. My president is black, and motherfuckers has got their windows down. Motherfuckers blowing their horns. Shit was crazy. I mean, from the time I left downtown, going over to cross 295, crossing over to South Capitol Street, you know, going through Southeast, as I always do, stop by, holler at the family, then go home. Because at the time I was living in Temple Hills, it was crazy. I mean, I got to the parking lot to where I live in Temple Hills, and it was just crazy. Motherfuckers was outside on their patios, sitting outside in the parking lot. Motherfuckers was drinking and talking. I mean, it was like a big ass cookout, big ass block party. Shit was real, and it was a good feeling. Just like. You know, I can't say that it was like when the Redskins won the Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl, but it did feel similar to when the Nationals won a championship. I mean, it was lit like that. It was fucking lit in the city. Lit. And it's always a good feeling. It's always a good feeling to have that amount of, you know, encouragement, hope, all that shit. But the last 8 years have been some of the worst up and down times that I've seen in my 46 years of living. And I've gotten to the point where I understand the importance of voting, and even though, you know, people have their own opinion about, you know, voting and why they don't vote, you know, the people that say why you should vote, and you know, you get these stories about the Electoral College, and you got all of these people telling you why you should vote and then why you shouldn't vote, right? And it's just gotten to the point where you watch the news, you can't eat shrimp, you can't eat fish, you can't eat steak, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you gotta eat vegetables, you can't use the microwave, you can't do this, you can't do that. Shit is getting fucking crazy. I mean, you got fast food restaurants like Wendy's charging more when they busy for food. Shit is fucking out of control. Like, I don't even understand how people still eat fast food. This shit don't sound right. Why the fuck would you want to eat fast food? Shit don't even make sense to me, right? And even though when I was a kid, I ate McDonald's, you know, I ate the Big Macs, 20 seconds, you know. But back then, you know, I can't even 100% say whether the food was better, but the taste of food was a little bit better. I can't say the grade of the food, but it was a little bit better. And now, you know, just not just black people, but just as a human being, you got to take so many different precautions when you step outside your fucking house. The fucking gas station that you're going to go to, the route you're going to take to work, you know, kind of checking your surroundings when you come outside. You know, just keeping in contact with your loved ones, your kids, your significant other, you know, throughout the day, just shooting them a text to make sure they good, or checking their location. If you have an iPhone, you can just check their location. Oh, okay, she here. Okay, she good. All right, bet. You know, going to the grocery store, checking these fucking serial numbers and making sure that the number is within the right organic spec, and if you picking up the right piece of food. I mean, it's just so much shit to be thinking about outside of the day-to-day shit, you know, getting up, going to work, how you gonna be able to deal with your stinky-ass coworkers that's breath stink, body stink, funky-ass attitudes. You're not where you want to be in life because you haven't made that step to become an entrepreneur yet, so you just on the cusp of saying, fuck this job, but you really can't say fuck this job because you don't know what the fuck you're going to do after that if you ain't got something lined up. And so I can't really sit here and be a hypocrite and say I don't understand why a lot of these teenagers and these young people are doing some of the shit that they doing, because at one point I was doing some of the same shit with the same type of mindset because I ain't know what the fuck I was going to do. Not having, you know, the proper guidance. I mean, I got a lot of guidance, but having proper guidance, having the proper mindset, because shit can go left real fast. And then when you got kids, as a man, there's a lot of pride involved. There's no handbook to tell you how to be, you know, a good father. There's no handbook to tell you how to deal with this, deal with that. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it's just so much shit going on, y'all. So much shit to be worrying about. COVID was a motherfucker. And then after, you know, all of that is over, so much information has been leaked and put out. And it's so many different conversations we can have about that. Take the vaccine. Don't take the vaccine. Take the vaccine and be sick. Lose your memory. Forgot this. Shit came back again. I want to say a few months ago. People died again. So it's just, it's so, like, just waking up. You know, I always used to hear, you know, old folks say, you know, waking up is such a blessing. Oh, you woke up this morning? I remember, just talking to people, you know, regularly on my day-to-day. Just talking to them, you know, while I'm at work. I'm like, man, what's good? Well, you good? Man, shit fucked up. You woke up today? It's a good day. You woke up today. And I get it. You know, you woke up to another opportunity. But what the fuck kind of opportunity are you waking up to? Like, for real. And I know a lot of the opportunity depends on the person, depends on the person's mindset, depends on the person's discipline, their drive, all that shit. I get it. But what the fuck type of opportunities do we really have out here? Because again, after watching this Netflix special, movie, documentary, again, whatever you want to call it, about Shirley Chisholm, and just looking at the last 8 years, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and I want to say Joe Biden is 81, Donald Trump is 77, two oldest motherfucking candidates for president ever in history, ever in history. A history of white men being president before 44, right? He goes on the wall with 43 other motherfuckers, including these other two motherfuckers after him. But he goes on the wall with these other motherfuckers, and he the only black man on the wall. And I can't remember, I want to say it was Boehner. He was the Speaker of the House at the time. And I remember him having a conversation with somebody before Obama took office. And I remember him saying he vetoing everything. I don't give a fuck what he talking about. I'm vetoing all that shit. And he was the biggest, he was one of the biggest people that was against legalizing marijuana. And some years back, I found out that he was a part or a partner with a company, and their main product is marijuana. And so at the end of it, it's just like, I hear people say, you know, Donald Trump, he run the United States like a business, like one of his businesses. I'm like, well, damn, what's his track record though? What's his track record? I mean, we talking about a motherfucker who got 91 indictments, who got the chick Fanny in Atlanta on trial because of her relationship with her man, who was also an attorney, who also recently was given an ultimatum to take her old man, from what I gathered from her trial, that they weren't together anymore. But the judge gave her an ultimatum. Look, you take this motherfucker off your team, and I'll let you carry on the investigation. Trump was like, what the fuck? No, that wasn't the plan. You supposed to get this bitch off the case, period. And that's not what happened. And it's just little shit that I pay attention to now. And I don't say much because I'm not big on, I'm not going to say I'm not big on valuing other people's opinions, because at times I do value other people's perspective and their opinions. But sometimes I don't want to hear what the fuck other people got to say about certain shit, because it's what the fuck they feel. And that's cool. But I know how I feel too. And sometimes it's easier to not talk about certain shit just so, you know, it don't have to be added bullshit to your life. And I ain't gonna lie, I've gotten to the point where I have now gotten to the point with Facebook and Instagram, because those are the two biggest things that I actually operate on now, is Instagram, Facebook, and then some YouTube. And my YouTube channel right now is The Real Talk Podcast, is 539 subscribers right now, I think, excuse me. And it's not something that I feel like I'm tracking the numbers, or I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I remember when I had one subscriber. I remember when I had two. I remember when I had three. And then one morning I woke up, it was 100. Then I woke up another morning, it was 115. Then I kept waking up, and it was just shit just kept going up and going up. And I've never tried to be somebody who was fake. I've never been somebody who tried to fit in, because frankly, if you don't agree with what I say in terms of when I'm talking on my platform, that's cool. But what I'm not going to allow you to push your opinion in my face as if my opinion is invalid, or your opinion is more valid than mine. Fuck that. I'm going to let you talk your talk, but that's it. And if we don't agree, we're going to agree to disagree respectfully. That's it. And that's the only thing in life that I demand now, is respect. And I mean, shouts out to somebody from my past who taught me that my respect is my biggest boundary, because I let somebody disrespect me and make me feel like I was less than who I was, and I'm never gonna let that happen again. So respect is something big with me. Family, friends, associates, people that I know, work with, whatever. Respect is big. And before I finish where I was going, I actually remember having a moment when I went outside and I had to come on social media. And I didn't have to come on social media, but I felt like certain times when something happens to me, I felt like, let me share it because maybe this will help somebody else that possibly could be going through the same shit. Because guess what? Whether you like to believe it or not, we all going through some of the same shit. Whether you like to believe it or not, I don't give a fuck what your tax bracket is. I don't give a fuck what your credit score is. I don't give a fuck what your income is. On a day-to-day basis, if you black, we all going to do some similar shit. Period. The end. And so I'm at work. And my employer came in my office. I'm already, you know, preoccupied with other work, like I always am. And he's talking to me and saying, hey, I want you to do this. And I'm like, all right, bet, I got you. No, I want you to turn around and look at me when I'm talking to you. I took a breath. I turned around, looked at him. I let him say whatever the fuck he was saying because it was going in one ear out the other at that point. And I'm realizing to myself that listening to some of the things that my grandmother used to tell me, one of the things that caught my mind was every battle ain't worth the fight. And in that very moment, I'm already in my mind planning my exit strategy from that organization. And in that moment, I felt a little bit of growth because I felt that 2000, that 1995, 96, Kevin, like, what the fuck? Who the fuck you? And in that moment, it was just like, lean back in your seat, kind of get this nigga some eye contact, kind of let this nigga say what the fuck you want to say. And as soon as he was done, I stood up, I said, okay. And I walked out of my office. And I did it so abruptly and so fast that when I walked out of my office, he literally had to move out of my way when I was walking out my office door. And when I walked out my office door, I slightly bumped him walking out the door. And I went outside. And I went on social media. I kind of told people, you know, what had just happened. Talked about, you know, the entrepreneur spirit and, you know, knowing when it's time to really, you know, start planning and really looking at entrepreneurship because that's the goal for me anyway. And it's just little things like that I pay attention to now, and I understand it's a bigger picture of why certain things are happening to me. And it's crazy because it's things that my lady says to me sometimes where I believe that she is she has a great spirit of discernment when it comes to me. Other things as well, but to me specifically, great discernment when it comes to me. And one of the things that she told me one time, she was like, boo, you get so frustrated, not because of the work and not what you do, but because you've been doing it for so long for other people, you know you can do it for yourself. And you frustrated because you're not doing it for yourself. And I remember her telling me this, and this was probably like last August, like maybe either before or after her birthday. And in November, I made a decision. I had already been planning some stuff, but in November, I pulled the trigger and I did something. And it's working out. It's not big. It's not, you know, lucrative at this point. But it's something that nobody can take away from me. And I own it. And, you know, intellectual property is something that I don't think we talk to the youth and people about more often, but that's another conversation. But in terms of, you know, watching this Shirley Chisholm movie, documentary, you know, special, whatever they want to call it, politics in the United States of America is bullshit. Flat the fuck out. After watching that movie and just looking at everything that's going on in the world today, whether it's racism, racial profiling, you know, officers being able to do what the fuck they want to do, get away with it. And I'm not just talking about just with black people, because I've been watching videos that may pop up on my timeline on either Facebook or Instagram or YouTube. And I'm watching these police officers do this shit, not just to black people, but they doing it to their own. They doing it to Mexicans. They doing it to males, females. They doing it to everybody. The police, and I'm not saying all police, right? Because I've had conversations with different police officers and we don't always see eye to eye. And I've had, you know, lengthy conversations with certain officers and they break down, you know, policy, procedure, mindset, just all these different things that we probably, you know, a civilian who's not trained to be a police officer might not think of. And I give them that respect, because you took the time to do the training. You took the time to get out of the academy. You took the time to get up every day, strap your shit on, your gun, your badge, your uniform, and you get out there and you do your fucking job. I mean, I even saw a quick snippet of a discussion that the brother Jamie from the Potomac, what the fuck is the name of that show? I'm not into the fucking reality shit, but y'all know what I'm talking about. The Potomac DC couples, you know, the people that's in DC, and they got Quicksilver and Jamie and his wife and couple other folks. And I remember seeing Jamie on there, and I've been to a couple of Jamie's parties, and I actually spoke to Jamie, you know, very briefly on social media once when I was working at Pella. He was looking for a door for his house, him and his wife, and I was trying to see if I could help him out get a door, because I was, you know, the guy back then. But I just remember him talking, and he was in a therapy session with his therapist, and he brought in former, you know, officers who had been retired, and one of them was the assistant chief, Ms. Dickinson, and they were all just kind of talking about how, you know, the stuff that they saw on the street, you know, on a day in and day out basis, is a lot of stuff that they can't forget. Like one guy was like, you know, when he's in D.C. and he's driving up a certain street, he can remember a certain case or a person being killed or, you know, something about his job. And it was just good to see how, you know, retired officers are still trying to, you know, combat that trauma from just the work that they do in as a police officer, especially in D.C. Can't really speak to other places, but only stick to, you know, what I know. And I know for a fact that being a police officer in D.C. is not an easy job. It wasn't when I was growing up, and I'm damn sure that it's not now. And I'm pretty sure these officers now who are getting sworn in now have a hell of a task, especially with the fuckers going on. And then this crime bill that Mayor Bowser and the D.C. Council just passed, crazy, right? And, you know, just politics in general and our government. And, you know, when you talk to people, they say, do your research, look at this, look at that. And again, everybody has their opinion. Everybody has their drive on why they believe what they believe. And I'm all for people believing what the fuck they believe. I'm cool. Believe what you want to believe. But you can't make me change my mind on certain shit, especially after watching this movie with Shirley Chisholm, man. And how this black dude, you know, backed this white dude because he thought he was the better candidate. And thought that this sister couldn't get the job done. And I don't know if you saw the movie yet, so I won't, you know, go through all of it, but it was something to watch. I mean, because I was watching and I was dozing off, halfway asleep. And it came on. I woke up. I'm watching it. And as I'm watching it, I'm just like, damn, it's fucked up out here. I mean, as a human being in the United States of America, I don't give a fuck what state you in, man. It is wild as shit out here. social media is the new news outlet, the new everything. Social media is the new everything. I mean, I was watching the fucking the Freaknik documentary on Hulu, and it blew my mind. It blew my mind that shit had blew up and had gotten that bad, and women were being raped and all this other shit. I was just like, wow, that's fucking crazy. And not to know that a group of people from D.C. back in the 80s started this thing that we now know and call Freaknik. To know that somebody from our city, Washington, D.C., started that was like, what? Like, we... I was just telling Angel that, you know, I was having a conversation with an educator maybe a few years back, and was just curious and was asking the educator, you know, why were we taught the way we were taught? Like, why didn't teachers really teach us what the fuck was really going on? And she told me, she said, Kevin, if I would have taught you what I know about what's really going on, and me knowing the type of person that you are, can you imagine what you would have did with that information? How it would have made you react and not respond, react on a day-to-day basis? I was like, I guess you got me there. Because a lot of the shit that's coming up, you know, the shit where, you know, the hush puppies, the word picnic, you know, why black people don't necessarily say picnic, we say barbecue or we say cookout. You know, picnic was the shit where, you know, white motherfuckers went and got their blankets and their little baskets and they had a fucking picnic, but they celebrated watching black people get hung. I was like, oh, that's what the fuck that meant? And so just knowing that, it's like, yeah, she got a point of teaching me that way and me possibly, you know, reacting on a day-to-day basis. And it just, you know, the term good morning, you know, is widely used. And when I heard the history behind good morning, it blew my mind, because I never really put that term together with a slave master punishing a slave and going out, you know, wherever they're tied up or wherever they have them, and asking them, you know, good morning after they've been fucking tortured all night. And it's just like, wow, as much as people walk around and say good morning, but then when people say grand risings or, you know, whatever flows their boat is an issue, or this nigga, or he acting like he woke and this and this. And it's just like, wow, man. It's crazy, man. I mean, black people in the 50s and 60s and even further back, but I'm just saying 50s and 60s and how they, you know, got together and marched, and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Marcus Garvey and all these people who did all of this, these great things. It's like, where are we today with doing great things? And I'm not saying that there's not black people out here doing great things. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, the overall, you know, in our, you know, CNN would like to call it the inner cities. Like, us as black people, we're not uneducated to the point where we just don't understand. You walk in the hood and you talk to a black person, depending on their age, And they might surprise you on how much they know about what the fuck is going on. But the fact that they don't have the type of resources somebody else may have, their mindset might be a little bit different. Might be a little bit different. And enough so for somebody to judge them. And I remember having a conversation with Angel not too long ago. And I had to tell her, I was like, I might have grew up in the hood, but I ain't grew up hood. I grew up in the hood, but I did not grow up hood. And I was having a conversation on my platform last year with a good homie who did a hell of a bid. Hell of a bid. And he said something that has stuck with me since then, since he said it. And he said, Kevin, you know, we were raised right the wrong way. I was like, what? And he said it again. We were raised right the wrong way. I was like, God damn, that's mean. I mean, because if you stop to think about how that sound, we were raised right the wrong way. I was like, oh, man. Wow. I was like, wow. And it's been on my mind since he said it. And I've even been on my platform talking to other people saying the same thing. You know, that we were raised right the wrong way. And it just seems like, you know, with politics and the way we were raised and educated and how we learned shit, like we don't know politics the way we should. I mean, we're starting to learn it because we see it more often. People are tapped in. People are trying to figure out, you know, what's really going on out here. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm not solely driven on politics and what's going on. But it is, you know, it is. I would say it is a good thing to be in the know of what's going on. But I don't let that shit consume me. My mother, I call my mother sometimes, and my mother is watching CNN, MSNBC. I mean, I ask her something about Trump or one of these congressmen or whatever. She could tell me all they business. And I can appreciate it because it's keeping her involved. You know what I'm saying? She's, her mind, you know, is showing me that even at, you know, her age now, her mind still works. It's still working. And, you know, I don't indulge in those type of networks as much as she does, but it's good to be in the know of what the fuck is going on. And after, you know, like I say, maybe like the last 3 or 4 years of just, you know, kind of just typing shit in Google and YouTube and just reading some of the shit that has gone on with our government of the United States of America, it's like, what in the entire fuck? Like what? Like, it's crazy to me, man. I mean, I'm talking to people who still losing people. You know, I just recently talked to a homie and he was like, you know, his homie passed. And then I talked to another person. They was like, yeah, two of my man, he died. It's just death. It's in the air. Whether it be violence in the street, whether it be a person being sick, it's a lot, man. And I mean, I'm looking at rest in peace and I'm looking at 81, 79. 76. I'm like, damn. What the fuck? I mean, I remember going to my man, my homie, man, Baloo Knight, man, Tony Roy, man. Got some people known him as Tony Snow, but went to his funeral and saw him in that casket, and that shit just was like, you know what? I can't do this shit no more. I can't keep coming to people's funerals. It ain't doing me no good for my mental health. And I remember talking to my homie Kia, and I remember when she walked in, I had already, you know, went up there and saw him, and she was like, Kevin, hold my hand, walk me up there. I was like, all right. And I walked her up there, and she said her goodbyes. And I'm just looking around at the church, and I'm just seeing people that I knew from high school and, you know, around the town, on the go-go scene, the club scene, and I'm just like, wow. I mean, because I had just talked to him maybe like months before he passed, and I never really, you know, got into like, you know, it's something wrong. You know, he just always wanted to go have a good time. And it threw me off. And so I think after his funeral, I just stopped going. I was just like, I can't do this shit no more. Can't do this shit no more. And it's like ever since I left the D.C. area, my thought process and my mindset has been a lot different. And I can say that from a standpoint of peace, I have a lot more peace in my heart and soul right now than I've ever had. And don't get that confused for, you know, life not still having its way of challenging me to see where my character is, because it does. It's challenging all of us. But I also feel like, you know, with challenges come character. And, you know, how do you respond to those challenges? And so my whole thing just talking, y'all, is just I'm not focusing what I'm doing on politics no more. I'm trying to learn as much as I can and try to set stuff up so my daughters, my nieces and nephews, and the young people that I impact through my nonprofit will be impacted and remember me as being somebody who always wanted to help and provide and set the tone for the next generation to come. And honestly, I'm registered through Florida to vote. But there's a slim chance that I'll do that. And I know it's going to be naysayers, and it's going to be people that say, oh, you need to vote, you know, and because I've even been the one to say, you know, fuck voting for president. Just vote locally. Just vote for your sheriff and your district attorney and, you know. But I don't know. I just, for me, politics is just, you know, I was listening to Candace Owens on the Breakfast Club. And when she said that the Pentagon has an office or a department where they solely get funded to make sure certain movies that are created have the right narrative. I was like, what? And so Charlamagne Tha God was like, what? News to me? Jess Hilarious was like, what? And so he Googled the shit. And she gave them a list of movies that the Pentagon was involved in with making the movie. And when she mentioned the list, all of the movies that she mentioned, it, the shit made sense. I was like, what the fuck? So it's to the point now where we have so much, we have so many resources that we can tap into to see and to really hear what's going on. And I'm just saying, for me, politics for me is not like on the top of my list right now. I'm not saying that I won't vote. I'm not saying that I won't check out, you know, who are the candidates in my district, in my area down here in Broward County. But I'm solely focused on legacy. I'm focused on doing my daughters proud. I might not have done all the right things, but at least when I'm gone, they could be like, you know, but at least, man, Pop, he set this up. He did that. He tried to do this. Let's try to finish that. Like, you know, the nonprofit for me and my partners, isn't just, you know, it's not for notoriety. I feel like nothing I do now is for notoriety. I like when people, you know, inbox me, talk to me, call me, text me, whatever, you know, and they like, man, yeah, you really doing your thing. I'm like, what you mean? I ain't really doing shit. And let them tell that I am. Like, nah, Slim, you are, man. I remember seeing you in college. You was nowhere near the person that you was in college. Or people that grew up with me in Southeast that know me, that had known me that long. Some of them say the same thing. And when you got grown men that you've been, that you've known damn near all your life, whether you look at them as brothers, family members, or whatever, when they text you in a group just to say, man, I just want to let y'all know I love you. You know shit is getting real out here. And I'm not saying that men can't tell men that they love them, but it's a sign that men recognize it's some real shit going on out here. And they want to acknowledge the ones that they do love. Which is a beautiful thing. And so when I listen to people talk, when I hear women talk about men in general and, you know, how fucked up they are and all this, I'm like, listen, I'm not saying that it's not men out there like that, but I don't know a lot of them. Because that's not who I involve myself with. I don't involve myself with no bullshit men. Like, the men that I surround myself with are men of purpose. You know, they might not have found their sole purpose, but they live life off principles. And they feel like they have a purpose and they work towards that every day. And I'm very lucky and fortunate to have a group of men in my life, brothers, cousins, family members. And I just say brothers. Very fortunate. Very, very, very fortunate, man. And so I just don't give a fuck about politics. I don't give a fuck about the government. I don't give a fuck. Because guess what? The government damn sure don't give a fuck about us. And I ain't just talking about black people. They don't give a fuck about people in general. I mean, the more and more I listen to the FDA, the more and more I listen to all of these fucking hearings and all of this, these trials and all this shit, the government don't give a fuck about the people. And the Constitution, it starts with we the people. And they don't give a fuck about the people. So in my mind, why the fuck should we give a fuck about what the fuck they think and what the fuck they doing? When the fuck we gonna band together and do what the fuck we need to do because we know it's the right thing to do regardless of what the fuck anybody else think? Like buying some land and putting all our family on it and growing our own shit and just living separate from all these other wild motherfuckers out here. I mean, I even remember saying one time, you know, segregation was bad. I'm like, nah, we need to go back to that. Yeah, it might have been bad back then because y'all wanted equality, but what equality of what? When we still getting treated the same fucking way 30, 40, 50, 60 years fucking later. But we rather spend money with Gucci and Prada and Balenciaga and, you know, spend all this motherfucking money on motherfuckers that don't give a fuck about us and can't even pay our motherfucking rent. Can't even pay our motherfucking mortgage. Can't even pay our motherfucking condo. Can't even get our motherfucking kids some food. Ain't got no motherfucking food in the refrigerator, but we can wear Balenciagas and Gucci and all this shit and go on vacation, come back home, and got a nerve to be calling your man or your friend or your homie, tell him, hey, man, let me borrow $20. Let me borrow $100 so I could, let me borrow $200 so I could, what the fuck? And I mean, am I saying that you can't have good, nice things? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you can't have nice things. But I do realize the value of the economic growth of spending money with black people. With black businesses. I mean, are all black businesses good? Probably not. But they black. And they black owned. And yes, do some black businesses treat motherfuckers crazy and wild? Yes. And you got to be selective. But I'm just at a point where I'm just like, man, fuck all of the bullshit about politics and the government and what we've been taught thus far and all the shit that they trying to hide, especially down here in Florida. Governor DeSantis trying to hide all of the fucking history and how we was, all slavery wasn't that bad. Suck a fat baby's dick. How about that? If slavery wasn't that bad, I want to see you suck a fat baby's dick. How about that? And for him to be Italian, his family to be immigrants as well, how the fuck? Like, come on, dog. And there's a lot of shit that I don't talk about that I've learned in the last, like I say, 4 or 5 years. But because I'm just focused on my babies. I'm focused on the babies in our family. My daughter just left here. And she is showing me that there is hope for the younger generation, the younger people, if we tap into them now and keep them locked in. But it's hard to keep them locked in because they got so much that they dealing with at a young age. At 10 years old, they got a lot that they dealing with in school, on social media, bullying, body shaming. It's just so much shit that how the fuck can we stop and be thinking about fucking politics and the government and what the fuck they doing? When they not really doing nothing for us. You got fucking immigrants coming to this country and getting healthcare, insurance, housing, all this shit. But you still got homeless veterans out here at the fucking streetlights on the corners begging for money. But you got motherfuckers that's coming off these buses and these boats and wherever the fuck they coming from, can't speak no English, don't I say yes and thank you or no or none of this shit, but they getting insurance, they getting housing, they getting all types of shit. I'm starting to see a lot of shit down here in Florida for myself. I mean, it's trailer parks full of Hispanics. Nothing but Hispanics. Trailer parks. They all living with each other. 4 and 5 people, 6, 7, 8 people living in the house. And that's a whole different conversation when I start talking about, you know, why the fuck can't us as black people, you know, squad up as a family and live, you know, 5 or 6 deep in a house until, you know, one part of the house can go out and get another house and then just keep building. Why it's got to be, oh, I don't want to live with him. I mean, I don't get it. But again, it's so much of a shit out here to be worrying about. How the fuck can we be worrying about politics and government and what the fuck they doing? Because they not doing shit for us. And this ain't for, you know, everybody to agree with. Because you guess what? You might not agree with me. And you might even inbox me. You might even say, oh, man, you don't know what the fuck you talking about. That's fine. I mean, I post shit on YouTube all the time and motherfuckers come back and be like, you know, you whack. You just looking for likes and da 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 da. Man, listen. And you the same motherfucker that got a profile picture of an invisible person. So can't nobody see your stupid ass. But you want to talk about me. Fuck you. But I don't say that. I'll be like, hey, you entitled to your opinion, champ. It's all good. Because I don't give a fuck for real. And that's the side that people don't really see of me no more. Of me just verbally saying out my mouth that I don't give a fuck. Because I really don't. I really don't give a fuck about what the fuck people think. Especially if it ain't positive. And especially if it's about me. And you nigga, you don't, listen. You think you know me, but you really don't. Even motherfuckers that know me don't know me, for real. And it's only a very few people who really know me. And you gonna have motherfuckers, oh, yes, my man, I know him. Nigga, you don't know me. And that's cool. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing that you don't know me. But don't be out here pretending like you really, really know me, because you really don't. Because at the end of the day, I smack anybody if they bullshitting just to see where the fuck they at. And it took me a long time to get to that point. But I'm not like that now, but I will. I walk around with an invisible line around me every day. You cross that motherfucker, you get what you get. You get what the fuck you get. You stay on your side, I stay on my side. And that's it. And like I say, to go back to my one of my initial statements is respect. It is what it is. I don't give a fuck who you are. White, black, Hispanic, police officer, lawyer, doctor, owner of the company. I don't give a fuck. You can't show me respect? Fuck you. You get what the fuck you give out. And that's just karma. That's just giving energy out. Hey, what type of energy do you think you're going to get back? Nigga, fuck you. So I guess for me, I'm just kind of, I don't know, I'm just kind of releasing all of these thoughts in my head so I ain't got to, like, hold on to them. And like I said, I ain't been on my own platform in months. Talking about nothing, you know, just not really talking about nothing. Cause I just been so busy trying to, you know, get some shit set up. And now when I'm at that point where I'm on the cusp of, you know, making really, really making some change, really making some impact, really making some shit happen, I'm focused on that. And I'm not saying that I'm not focused on other shit, but I'm really focused on being impactful more than anything. And so that's just kind of my thought process today, y'all. I don't want to call it a rant, but it was just something that I just felt like I needed to do this and get it off my chest, you know, and just send it out and just see what happens. But yeah, man, you know, entrepreneur, co-founder and president of a nonprofit, podcast host. I like to consider myself a philanthropist, a father, brother, uncle, cousin, family member, friend, homie. Like, I just want to make an impact. And just tweak that nerve. So you know, the shit that you're doing now is going to run into a brick wall. And you're not going to be able to break through that motherfucker. So why not change your direction now? Let somebody that's been down that road or walked down that road help you go in another direction. Because this government, these politicians, the United States that Trump want to make better again, it ain't going to get better. I mean, I honestly feel like this world needs a fucking massive restart. And I'm not holier than thou and all of that, but when you go look through the Bible and you start reading through some of them chapters in Revelations, it's like, what? And you figure the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore and that cargo ship, all of the information that's coming out about that ship, it's like, what? And then let alone that bridge was destroyed. And then here it is, it's another bridge that imploded in Ohio, and I ain't hear nothing about that. And they said it just imploded. How? And I ain't big on conspiracy theories or none of that shit, but I'm just like, are you, what? I mean, if you are a believer of a higher power, and if you have any knowledge on the book of Revelation, or just looking at life and just going past what you see and kind of thinking outside the box, man, shit is crazy out here. And at 46, man, I'm more than blessed every day I wake up. But then on the other hand, living in this fucked up crazy world, trying to make it. And that's all any of us are trying to do. Crazy, y'all. It's crazy out here. But, man, all I would say is, man, I want y'all to be safe. And I want you to just focus on that person that's in the mirror. You start with that person, focus on that person, fix and repair that person. Do the necessary things that you need to do to help that person be the best version of this, of themselves. Start there. Don't worry about nobody else. Because even if you got a wife, you know, husband, kids, whatever, they need you at your best form. So if that's exercising, watching what you eat, detoxing, whatever the fuck you need to do, start with the motherfucker in the mirror, man. Start with the motherfucker in the mirror. Michael Jackson said it best, man. Man in the mirror. That man got so many songs that was telling us what the fuck was really going on. We just listening to his music. But you go back and listen to some of them lyrics in some of his songs now, it's like, what the fuck? And that's a whole different story. Talking about Mike, talking about Prince, talking about all these top-notch, you know, people who gone. And not saying mysteriously, but what the fuck? Nana, you on Diddy ass. It's crazy out here, man. Fucking crazy, man. But, I mean, sincerely, I wish you health, wealth, stability, protection, and nothing but great things, man. A winner is a loser who never gave up. Y'all be easy, man. Six man. Peace.
All a nigga tryna do is hustle, hustle. Stack my paper more, I can't lose. Ain't no other options for me, fuck a pick and choose. Fuck another day, so I pick up and light my mood.
Just wanna feed my family, I ain't looking for no trouble. Been starving for a new way, you can hear my stomach rumble. Man enough to say I fucked up before, then right I fumble. But that won't stop me, beat the odds. Rocky on the money making campaign. Hit my speed, the next best thing. Wake up with a purpose, gonna get it, that's for certain. Put my life in my music, reality, my influence. Listen, I prove it, black and gifted. I'm some multi-mellow breeze now. Love my brother, cause he never crossed me 10 toes down. I pick him up, made a promise I'ma hold my own weight up, so we can get this paper. It's now who never paid dues. I lose, we lose. TGR forever, abandon that. Oh, I can never. Once with Spurs as a feather, now we ain't flocking together. Take flight like my move, mellow breeze. I'm in your two the way.
All a nigga trying to do is hustle, hustle. Stack my paper more, I can't lose. Ain't no other options for me, fuck a pick and choose. Fuck another J, so I pick up and light my move.
Sorry, but baby, I'm right on attack mode. Nigga want flex. I'm sorry, but nigga, this isn't no flex zone. King of my throne, honey, I'm home. Look at my stack, boy, you grown up. Look like you won't even fold up. But under the pressure, we hold up. Let me get back, operator. You a rookie, I outrank you for that paper. I'm speed racer like I'm skunk. Let me get back to the matter at hand. I'm coming out winning no matter the hand. I'm hustling hard just to get to the bands. Cause I know I got it. Ain't no doubt about it. It's been some cloudy days, but I always get up. Frequency, lost up in my memories. You stopped meaning shit to me. Since hustling been on me mentally, I started thinking differently. So vividly, my actions start to change with new activities. If you ain't talking dollars, man, I'm sorry, don't got my remedy. I'm all about the green if you talking positivity.
Cause all a nigga trying to do is hustle, hustle. Stack my paper more, I can't lose. Ain't no other options for me, fuck a pick and choose. Fuck another J, so I pick up and light my mood.